You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. Thank you all so much for joining us this week. We really appreciate you. If you like what you hear, spread the word and let people know about it. We would appreciate that.
We
think you're in for a good time this week. My name is Drew. Joining me as always is the black tie to my cocktail, my dear friend Andy.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well, Andy. I just found out that cocktail dress was a level of dress between black tie and business.
Oh.
It's like cocktail wear. It's like a little bit fancier than the business dress.
I feel like I do like dockside dress, which is yeah. Like
it longshoreman,
can, you know, like a swimsuit and a t-shirt.
Yeah. I'm wearing a pair of white shoes that I got at Target. I think they're women's shoes. It was kind of a unisex wall of shoes, but I was looking for some real cheap white shoes for the summer, and these fit, cram my feet into them, but I'm pretty sure they're women's shoes.
Nice.
I'm owning it. Thank you, Target.
They look good.
Thank you again, Target, for everything.
Oh, man, before we get going, I want to give a shout out to some of my favorite local podcasts who I feel like don't get their due. I want to give a shout out to Crate Diggers. Check out Dan Cable Presents. And make sure also, you know, they're not local, but I always give Yak the Portland nod because he's from here. Second Thought Podcast,
yeah.
Yeah. Check those shows out. If you like what we're doing, there's a good chance you're going to really enjoy what they're doing, too.
Mm-hmm. And it pains me to say, but Dan Cable is a great interviewer.
Yeah.
Interviews great musicians. Our direct competition, but well worth your time.
And a solid hockey player.
Oh, didn't know that. Yeah. Had no idea. Yeah, learn something every day. Andy, our silent partner, Nate, is with us, making the sound happen as he does each and every week. Awesome episode this week. I don't want to belabor the point too much. I want to get right to the meat of things.
Yeah.
We had Portland MC Mike Capes joining us at long last. Kind of like our guest list ring of honor. Really grateful to have him in the studio this week. Played some great music, played a new track from his upcoming release, and just talked about the craft of rapping and the kind of the present of hip hop.
Yeah.
It was an awesome time. I think you'll enjoy this conversation with Mike Capes on this week's episode of Hot Garbage. It's true, yeah. Like, the hip-hop albums, the great hip-hop albums are all probably too long, I think.
Yeah.
You end up liking, like, 8 songs on every one, but it's different for every person. When you have more songs, everyone has their own top 8 that is, it's kind of unique, which I liked about the longer album.
Yeah, I like to sit with albums, so I like my albums to be, like, 16 to listen to. But I get these shorter albums, it's kind of moving with the consumption of music, how fast music comes out.
Yeah.
And how fast our attention spans leave something. Like week to week, even you can like an album a whole lot, but the next week you might not even be listening to the album like that. You might put it in your shuffle and then hear it that way. But
I think that's the problem. I love finding new music and I love digging for it. And there's so much out there, but I never go back and look at my list and like spend 3 days with one album and really get to know it and figure out if I like it or not. And I used to just buy albums without hearing anything and just have to deal with my choice. And you don't have to do that anymore.
Stuff came out a lot slower. Mm-hmm. Now music just drop on any day. It used to be like Tuesdays and Friday.
Same thing with movies.
Yeah.
Like I don't even go to the movie theater anymore because like 3 months after the movie's out, it's on DVD and I can watch it at home.
Yeah.
Right.
It used to be like a year. You'd have to wait so long for movies to come out on tape.
Or you had to now you could just hop on any of these piracy sites and just watch it.
Yeah.
So for you, when you're thinking about, because right now you're about to head into the studio tomorrow to get started on a new project, big project, and you've done 3 big projects over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, what's your motivation to do it in that style now? Why do you still take that time, and why do you do it as a full album versus kind of putting out a little bit here and there?
Because growing up, that's what I grew up on. I value a concept and a story.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I lean more towards doing the albums and. A lot of my music it comes from, you know, lived out experiences. So I like to put time in between them so I can actually absorb experiences in life. Yeah, and
have something else.
The music
happen.
Is inspired by that a lot of the time. So, and they happen to fall in wherever my mindset is. Like Rise and Grind was that was like the beginning for me, and that, it caught a certain mood in a certain part of my life. And then Concrete Dreams is how I was feeling then. And then Sheesh as an EP, that was like that's how I was feeling at the moment. I wanted to experiment more so with that.
Right.
And then this one, it'll reflect where I'm at now.
I'm curious because your albums are so personal and there's so much of who you really are and so much that goes into them. Yeah. You know, a lot of people can look back at the early stuff in their career and like, man, I've come a long way. I'm a lot better. Maybe this is not a representation of me anymore. Yeah. When the stuff is so personal, how do you evaluate the first album versus where you're at right now?
Evaluate in what way?
Like your growth. How do you chart your growth? Because you can't look back and say, hey, my experiences were shitty and I wasn't very good at expressing them because it's real.
Yeah.
I look at the same time, you have to like chart your growth a little bit too.
Yeah, I always, after I'm done with an album and I listen to it for a while, after I put it out, I always write down what I can do best, what I can do better on the next album. I always write that down and then add on to what I did good on the other one. Yeah, and
yeah, because a lot of times it's completely the opposite where people just get farther and farther away from what made their music good.
Yeah.
And it becomes about
money chasing something
and just being about whatever. So is this new album going to be like the Flossy Mike Capes album where
you
finally blew up?
Nah, that's not where I'm at. So I like that. That's how I feel like artists last is when they do music that's reflects where they at instead of trying to get ahead of themselves. You know what I mean? So nah, it's going to be more so like my first one, Rise and Grind, but like where I'm at now with it.
Yeah.
Because I'm at that weird point where I'm real well known by my music in the city and people see me and want to do the taking picture things and all of that type of thing. But also, that's perception. Pockets still be hurting and all types of shit. So it's like that weird middle space where you're known for what you do, but at the same time, I can pay bills with it. That's a blessing, but at the same time, it's like still struggling.
How do you balance out the things that you want to do creatively with now that you're getting a little bit of notoriety, what people expect from you?
I don't care about expectations.
That
man.
Doesn't factor in.
Yeah,
at
my
all.
Music, it, man, before I did Rise and Grind, I was with a couple groups, and I was unhappy with that because I was doing music that was trendy and I was doing what I thought people would want to hear. But from that, when I got out of that group, went through like a depression stage with that because I couldn't do the music I really wanted to do. I was still writing stuff like Concrete Dreams and all of that, but I wasn't putting that out because I didn't think the group wanted to put that type of music out.
Gotcha.
So after I left that, that's when I did Rise and Grind. And I just do what I feel, man. And I don't think as an artist you can go around expecting that everybody's going to like what you're doing. It's your self-expression. If I cared about what people thought, I wouldn't be doing music.
But at the same time, like, you do perform and you do put this out and, you know, you're making your living off of it. So you're building this relationship with strangers, basically.
Yeah.
Like, how do you hope that they embrace it? What do you hope is the experience of listening to one of your albums or seeing you live?
I hope they gain perspective from my music. That's my main thing, gaining, maybe learning something, feeling motivated, feeling inspired. A lot of my music is, when you listen to it, really, it's just testimony of what I've been through in this time period. And then maybe through those stories, it can encourage people to push through what they're going through or go after their dream or whatever, or learn a perspective from what I come from. And it can create conversations around things we don't usually like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So
What were you mentioned taking kind of notes after each project.
Yeah.
What was your big takeaway from Sheesh? What did you write down?
So for Sheesh, man, he made the beats. Dre made all the beats, and we did that within like 2 weeks. Like we had a lot of studio time. We was like, "Fuck it, you want to do something?" So we did something. I wanted to make something that was a summer mood.
Yeah.
And Concrete Dreams was heavy as far as the content. So I wanted to do something that was more fun and light, people could ride around to, but still had the bars in there. But something that was way more.
That was definitely like a sunset summer album.
Yeah.
That's for driving around. That's my favorite kind of summer album is when it's right around, you know, 7:30.
Yeah.
It's real warm. You got that good, like, West Coast light. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite cruise.
Whereas I like a cool summer morning kind of vibe, you know, where it's still a little wet on the grass, but it's okay. It'll warm up later.
Yeah, that dew music.
Yeah.
I like dew. But, I just... it was something fun to put out, man. That was the first EP I ever did, so it was like, all right, let's experiment with shit. And I also wanted to show versatility, because I feel like a lot of people can, if they haven't heard a lot of my music, they could tend to put me in like this just boom bap, lyrical storytelling rap, which is tight, but like, I like doing what I feel. Whatever I'm feeling, that's what I want to do. So I just wanted to show people versatility.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you too, because I was re-listening to everything in the last couple of days, and like, no matter what, even if you have a song like Jumper Cables, which is like a real banger, it's still about something.
Yeah.
Like all of your stuff is about something. Yeah. Do you ever have this urge to just be like, man, fuck that. I'm doing bars for like 15 songs. I'm just going to be rapping on this.
It's hard for me, like, because I kind of just write from the heart. Whatever comes out, like with Razor Tongue, people liked it. That was the song that where people really like lashed on. Oh, Mike Capes.
Yeah.
Razor Tongue.
That was definitely the first song of yours that I heard too.
Yeah, because it got that lo-fi kind of grimy driving bass, and then it was how I was talking about what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as far as bars, I like doing bar shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
just rapping about rapping sometimes.
As I've gotten older though, I just try to, when I make something, I want it to have a point a lot of time. I'll do rapping about rapping for fun, like the first track on Sheesh is that.
Yeah.
More so just straight through. And I'm going to have one of those as like a bonus track on this next one. So,
well, what's your headspace for this one? What is kind of the life themes that are going to be incorporated into this next project?
It's that middle area of like being known for what you do, but like you still dealing with the realities of life. Like perception-wise, people look at me and probably be like, oh, man, he doing this, he doing that. And I feel like I am progressing, but at the same time, you still deal with the realities of, you know, the situation your parents in, or your siblings, or your own situation. And it's gonna be called Restless, like RST, with the time symbol, like the what's that shit called again? The dot dot.
The colon.
Yeah, it's colon. Yes. So it's RST.
Colon
LSS.
Yeah.
So, and all of my projects kind of derive around sleep or lack of. So, Rise and Grind, you got Concrete Dreams, and this one is Restless. Mm-hmm. And it's just around the mentality of like, it's around the mentality of what did I have down for it? I'm trying to think of it. Well, it's just being restless, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that trying to make things happen before is. You're trying to make things happen for yourself, for your city, for your family, like something that I'm restless about. So my parents' health isn't that good.
Yeah.
So it's something that I want them to see something better than what we come from. So I'm restless about that. I'm restless about my brother's situation with his kids, or restless about, you know, you can think about your age getting older. Like wanting to make this shit happen, like anything you could be restless about, not making enough money, or so I'm staying up writing this music, trying to get out of this shit.
Mm-hmm. Are you the main character of all these songs? Is it your version of Restless, or do you ever tell like a story about?
No, I'm going to tell stories.
Yeah,
but it's mostly gonna be from my perspective, but just like any other ones, inspired by other stories as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like a way to talk about real things.
Yeah.
But like making it personalizing it. There's a lot of songs that are about something political or about something social that are sort of at a remove.
To be like that.
Yeah.
I feel like Concrete Dreams, I covered a lot of that in there, and I don't want to talk about Trump or no shit like that.
Yeah.
People know I might mention it, but like I don't want to be overly. The word political is tricky, man. When you like a person of color, I feel like my life is political in general.
Yeah.
Just living is political. So.
Well, I know
I'm gonna just share my experiences.
I know you do a lot of interviews, and people tend to ask you about that because it's so present in your music. Do you ever feel like it's okay? So when I'm listening, I feel as if it's just coming from you, and it's just you talking about real experiences. So it seems very connected to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But do you ever feel like you have sort of a responsibility to say these things? Is there ever any sense that you need to express these things on behalf of a larger group of people?
Nah, it's just how I feel. If I feel a way about something, I'm not a person that tend to bite my tongue. I talk about it if it needs to be talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I have like a savior complex.
Have you thought about doing like a resistance
EP or something?
Like a release, like an anti-Trump resistance album?
not an anti-Trump, man, because this shit been happening way before Trump. It's like, be anti. That's what the name resistance comes from, resisting, not just political shit, but resisting whatever is in for society. Anything mm-hmm. that's like self-destructive, the shit that's praised, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And in the world, that's what it really comes from. So resisting that and just being yourself.
Yeah. Well, I do have thousands of more questions, but I think we should probably play a little bit of music.
You can ask a million of them.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we will definitely get to that, but let's give people a little something to listen to. Did you bring some tracks to share?
What would y'all want to drop in from the music that y'all have heard?
Well, Andy, why don't you kick it off? Why don't you set the tone?
Oh yeah, man.
We'll let you kick things off with a tune here that you've been listening to.
Yeah.
We'll get the gears turning for Mike, and he can take the wheel next round.
Y'all want me to pick the tracks?
Yeah, well, we'll split them.
I'll play you a couple songs. You play us a couple songs.
Oh, so yeah. They don't have to be my songs.
Don't have to be your songs. No.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like, here we go.
I mean, you can't go wrong with the Mike Capes tune. So no.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have one.
I actually got a new one dropping soon. Huh?
This is a rapper from the DMV that everybody should already know about. But he's got some great stuff going on. This is Jay Cyanide. That's S-C-I-E-N-I-D-E. Jay Cyanide. Yeah, he's dope. He's from the DMV. He's originally from Charlotte, and he's now living in Washington, D.C. He put out a really good boom bap, kind of just classic sounding, sick album. It's just, this dude's bars are ridiculous, and he's got kind of like that, like, he puts like a modern spin on it that doesn't sound like just like a tribute, you know? It sounds like this is like real, and this is what's coming from the heart, and it's real good. He put out a track with a Toronto producer named Future Wave, who's been making some really big moves with some big producers. But also definitely go back out and check out Jay Cyanide's previous album, The Real Heat, which is The Actual Heat is what it's called, not The Real Heat.
I like The Actual Heat.
The Actual Heat. It was such a dope album name. Sick. That came out last year in April. And this new track here just came out back in February, and he's got more stuff coming out with a bunch of other producers, so check this out. This song's called Mystery Science. You can check it out and get it on Bandcamp.
Sweet.
Future Wave.
No question, I was destined to be that. No need for the feedback, ease back, black ski mask. Magnificent, push the pen for the illest shit. Friends with benefits, big butt Dominicans. Back in the days on the boulevard of Wilkinson. Ricochet Wimbledon, discipline for the simpletons. Sharper imaging, brain sickening. Watch the citizens, the fame kicking in. Count the Benjamins, sweet serenades, sounds of hand grenades. Paid in full, barbecue live. 700 wives, Solomon died. Nobody cried, push the gas, let's ride. Pump it stronger than pride, take the bribe. Turnstile, two train, I'm out. Speak your clout, ran the route. Yours is clouded with doubt, cash the bell out. Bring some Guinness stout, shed light, disciples the bout. Chill out, I'm Tyson with the knockout. Ouch, yo, let it breathe. Yeah, Future Wave. 1, 2. Yo, hey. Yo, she in them bed sheets, peacock headpiece, caravan a side piece, welcome to my streets. Supreme technique, moves like a chess piece. I wrote a great speech, Nobel Peace, peace. Conduct the orchestra, wide the wave like an orca. Throw on the shades, next phase is manslaughter. The author, ayo, my thoughts to your recorder. I can't believe they let my ass across the border. My art slid apart right from the start. When I embark, scoping out the lanes just like a hawk. Crystal chandelier, ball, sunny the Porsche. Back on the iron horse, villain of the north. Do damage, high standards, third planet. The ship landed, the East Coast, mid-Atlantic. Single-handed, read your mind before you plan it. Interview was brief, when I spoke, it was candid. Candid.
So that was Jay Cyanide?
Jay Cyanide.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, man, really good. Check him out. A beard rapper. Gotta
he and Action Bronson.
Listen to beard rap.
Big beard rappers.
That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Top 5 beard rappers.
Yeah. Stally is a beard rapper. He had a rap. I think he even had a song about his beard. It was dope.
Did DJ Khaled have a beard at any point?
He has like a painted on beard. He's got that real manicured.
It's real landscaped.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It can get wet, but not be wet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the beard is you got a little something going on.
Yeah, man, you got
some fluff.
I can't get it like them though, like the big bush. Yeah, I wouldn't do the big bush.
Is this as far as it goes right here?
Yeah, right Yahoo. Now, man. I ain't start getting it till I was like 26, 27.
So. You're looking at like 6 days of growth for me. This is all I got. For real? I got nothing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
It's patchy at best. So I'm envious of that.
If I grew anything, it'd look like a Steph Curry, like playoff beard. It'd be like all neck.
Like a child with a fake beard glued
Kyrie
to his face.
Kyrie Irving beard.
Yeah.
Mostly Kyrie's Irving beard is like under here mostly.
Yeah. Mine would really be like that, but there would be spots where they would be just like smooth baby skin in between the hair.
They'd be like, does he have scars on his neck or it just doesn't grow there?
Mine used to be that.
Well, this is nice. You've got it really coming in.
I've done some
chia seeds or something.
Yeah, man.
It's good coverage.
Something happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious. This is something I was thinking about on the way over. Like, what is it about rap that makes everyone think they can do it?
I think it was the commercialization of hip hop. Rap music, it turned it into like, oh, it's a hustle. Also, the home studios, the access.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back in the day, you really had to pay to go to a studio and get your music done. Now you could just buy a cheap mic, get some software, and in your room, you could just make music.
I think it was that Fruity Pebbles commercial back in the day where Barney Rubble laid down that beat. I think he was the first one I ever heard say, hey, I'm Barney Rubble, and I'm here to say I like rapping in a rapping way.
That's crazy. To sell cereal. I need to chill.
Something along those
up.
Lines.
Well, that's crazy, too, because that was like when that was still like 92, 93 or something like that.
Yeah.
And hip hop by that point had already gotten into selling kids cereal. That's how far it had come in just like 18 years.
Man, hip hop only 50 years old. That's
I know.
Crazy.
Not even probably.
Yeah, right. Like 48, maybe something like that.
In that ballpark, but not an old medium by any means.
I think the internet made it more of a popular thing too. And yeah, like the commercialization when Diddy started doing all the shiny suit shit and all of that, it made people like want to be a rat. It looked cool because of the fame that comes with it, the girls, the car.
Yeah.
Like people that think like that started to jump more into it.
It seems like also whenever
I feel like Migos is making it feel like anyone can rap right now.
Yeah, but they actually have. See, I've actually jumped into it and started looking at these rappers that a lot of traditionalists don't really like, but they actually have skill to what they do.
Oh no, they're good rappers. They can rap, but the hooks that they write are so simple and so nursery rhyme that it makes everybody think like, oh yeah, I can just rap about whatever I'm doing and it sounds cool.
A hook that's the whole thing. A hook is supposed to be repeatable.
Yeah.
So
you can't say walk it like I talk it without saying it like 12 more times.
That shit is gonna get stuck in your head because after you listen to it.
My daughter today was her birthday and I got her a fingerling and she named it Walk It Like I Talk It.
Wow. See?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Maybe I think more of the lyrical artists should start doing simpler hooks.
Just write all of your verses.
Wrap your ass
while
off.
Reading Llama Llama Red Pajama.
That's hilarious.
That's a hook right there. You can just repeat that.
Atlanta like the new like Mecca. It's crazy. It's weird.
And everybody's doing that triplet flow too. That is just like spread like wildfire in hip hop.
Yeah, man, because the beats have changed, you know what I mean? To where there's more
space.
Yeah, space. So the triplet has become a tool.
What's next? What's gonna blow up next? The DMV?
The DMV? Hopefully Portland, man. Hopefully.
Yeah, Portland, yes.
You know what I mean, but
Well, this is like, you know, a repeated question, but when we have MCs on, we like that. I mean, like, what is the definition of the Portland hip-hop sound from your point of view?
The definition? I don't know if there's one defined sound. I think in areas like where I come from, St. John's, is more based around lyricism and storytelling. You got your Vinnie DeWaynes, you got your Glenn Wacos, you got your Immaculates, you got me, and you got Maze Caroma, cats like that. Like, it's based more so in the lyricism, but but as for myself, I know for me, I like having a balance between the lyrical, but still have bounce to it, still make it palatable. You know what I mean?
Do you see yourself? Are you influenced by like the Migos style or the kind of new traditions?
Not directly. Maybe in indirect ways, but I don't like study Migos to be like, oh.
Yeah.
But when I was saying I was studying them earlier, it was more so about like, all right, what is it about this group that people like so much? And I'll jump into it and try to figure it out. But
it's crept up on me a little bit.
Yeah.
I used to call it kid rap because it did seem like it was just like this silly shit
elementary,
for children. But it's like it just it works its way in, and the more I'm exposed to it, the more.
Earworm.
I can't get on board with Lil Yachty though.
Me neither.
I'm still off Lil Boat.
My thing is I got to hear skill, some type of skill in what they're doing.
Yeah.
And
say what you want about Lil Yachty, that song Broccoli is still a banger.
I like Broccoli.
That shit's really good.
But I like Broccoli because what's the is other it artist? Isn't it Drum on it? Yeah. I like it because of that.
Well, there's catchy. A guy also who did like a like he had like fucking 19 tracks on his album too, and that just like was way too much.
Of what? That
I can't remember what album it is. I'm just like I have some friends Slime who got season? Way into them, and they'd play them when we were like playing games or whatever. And man, it just would keep going and going. Couldn't get by.
I need variety if you're gonna give me that much.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I felt with all the No Limit stuff back in the day. My friends all had like subwoofers in their cars, and they loved No Limit. And I was like, man, this is the same track.
Yeah,
they're not doing anything different.
They did a lot of like this rhyming the same word for an entire verse.
Yeah.
It was real raw.
They did write that track, Y'all Live for Pussy. What was it? Oh, fuck.
Yeah. It was like, Y'all Live for Bitches and Blunts. We Live for Weed and Money.
There it is.
Yeah. And Isaiah Rashad later flipped that hook on one of his albums. I think Clivia Demo. Sylvia Demo. He used that hook. Yeah. He used that for a hook.
I mean, that's got some swag to it. That was a thing. That was the thing that drew me to hip hop. Like I was like a rock and roll kid, you know, growing up in my house, it was just like classic rock. My mom listened to like 80s country. That's what was like in my house. So I didn't like get onto hip hop until,
but
like we were talking about earlier,
Cube,
it was like, yo, MTV Raps and stuff was like right in my face.
Yeah.
But what I loved about it was just that swagger, you know?
Yeah.
Just
which is why your mom was such a huge Ice Cube fan.
Well, West Side Connection. Yeah. She liked West Side Connection.
That's dope.
But
mostly just the track Bow Down because she heard it on like a jock jam.
Well, yeah, she was kind of like a surface level. She was only skin deep on her West Side Connection. She knew the hits.
Like a casual listener.
Yeah. She didn't get into like Gangsta Killer and the Dope Dilla or anything like that. She wasn't that deep, but
hip hop brought the flavor, man. It's a genre that's made up of all genres. It's like a super Thanos genre.
Well, that's okay. That's interesting you say. So, my girlfriend asked me yesterday. We were just talking about music, and she said, "Like, what
is the shit you're listening to, Drew?"
Well, yeah, she has. We have similar taste, but she was like, "Will there ever be just like a brand new thing in music? Yeah. Is there ever going to be something that like totally surprises people, takes people by storm in the way that like rock and roll did, or like the way that hip hop did,
or like heavy drum and bass?
Is that even
dubstep?
Is it even possible anymore?
I think it'll come out of hip hop, whatever it is.
Well, hip hop just sort of like, as you were saying, kind of just like swallows everything that comes close to it and makes it sort of like that.
Well, no, seriously though, going back to that, I think we just came off of that with dubstep. There was never any sound that sounded like bleep blorp, like machine gun computer sex like that.
Yeah.
And fucking it was just
Transformer
like
sex.
Yeah, it was so crazy.
But it didn't take hold.
But then it got swallowed by hip hop.
Exactly,
it did. It turned into trap music, and then hip hop went very trap heavy, and it took it back.
Hip hop is built on samples from the core, though, you know what I mean? So
that's
like,
true.
It's never going to die because of that. It's going to pick up whatever is hot. And then it's going to turn into a hip-hop song.
So basically what hip-hop is always going to be the newest possible thing. That's always what's going to define hip-hop.
Until it peaks and then it goes acoustic.
But can that ever make it a classic art form? Like we can look back at like 80s rap sounds, you know, there's exceptions obviously, but there's a style from that decade.
Yeah.
But when you look at the mid-2000s, it's just going to be all this shit. It's going to be this hodgepodge.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were certain players where their sounds was made in the 2000s. Kanye West.
That's a good point. But he's so, like, his production, I mean, that's right. I mean, because if you look at Yeezus, it's pretty, like,
evolves.
Futury. It's pretty out there.
Yeah.
All right.
You know,
that's
it's
a good
always
example.
Seen as very experimental when it comes out, for sure.
It won't be. It definitely won't be in any sort of rock and roll, like, genre. It's not going to be in, like, folk or metal or anything like that.
I heard that they're turning these laser guitars out now, and it's going to make these crazy dubstep guitar riffs.
That's so crazy, bro.
That would be crazy.
You can strum a drop.
Yeah.
I think the difference between hip-hop is that it doesn't depend on instruments. Mm-hmm. All the other genres depend on instruments, and hip-hop is more flexible because it doesn't depend on an instrument.
Yeah.
There's nobody critiquing a guitar player or a drummer or some shit. It's more so about the words. And then the producers, I mean, a lot of these beats are simple, but if it sound hot, it sound hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them are like back to... You know, 808s like Run DMC and shit, but they just do different shit over it.
What's your hip hop Mount Rushmore? your top four. We'll go just top four rappers.
Personal or objectively?
Well, you can use your own criteria, but basically personal.
Personal? Basically personal. My favorite rapper of all time is Tupac, and that's just... It's the way it got to be for me.
I mean, he belongs there. See, he's both historically right and personally right. Yeah. I think that's a good score one on that first one.
So, for me, I like Tupac, Nas. You said four.
Yeah, just like that Mount Rushmore.
Tupac, Nas. It's a throw between Scarface and DMX for me.
Really? Nice. Wow.
And then, Scarface is slept on... all-time greatest rapper for sure.
I think you're the best to ever come
but
out.
But DMX
South.
Is a surprise.
I am surprised by DMX.
But DMX, nobody sounds like DMX. He's got his own thing.
The rawness.
Yeah, it's raw.
But I would say I got to put Jay-Z in there.
Is Jay-Z you or Jay-Z is like you're objectively?
It's kind of in the middle for him.
Yeah.
Tupac is my favorite rapper of all time. I think he's the best ever, but objectively, you got to kind of put Jay-Z above him because he lived out the process.
You would put Jay-Z above Tupac.
Not strictly on just music, but we can't have him chasing ghosts his whole career. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a good point. Jay-Z has been...
Yeah.
He's been able to weather all these different eras.
That's
of
a great point.
And still be relevant to somebody
true.
That's 15.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But Tupac, I think, is the biggest icon of rap ever.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're right. He's kind of like Nirvana. Like, he has this finite library of material that is all excellent.
He has his own island.
Yeah.
And exactly. He died at 25, you know what I mean?
Right. So he never had a chance to make any mistakes in his music, basically.
Right.
And Jay-Z has had those opportunities and he's
been able to stay there.
And be a business owner and run this crazy empire and still put out consistently, interesting music every time we put something
He's entering the I've been rich for a very, very long time phase of his career. Yeah. He's sort of losing touch with
Before
the real
44
world.
Was tight, though. And the way he stayed relevant, though, is because he got personal. Jay-Z has never really got personal with his music. Kind of been always kind of like a facade built from real stuff. But 444 was like, all right, we know Jay-Z. It ain't like telling it from a reporter type of standpoint.
Yeah.
I think you should have a podcast. That was very convincing.
It was.
You really brought me around to your way of thinking.
See, what's your Rushmore looking like these days, Drew?
Well, so my thoughts on Jay-Z were I can put him up there. Like, we were talking earlier about the inconsistency of a long hip-hop album. If you take the best of Jay-Z's best, it is fucking killer. Yeah. It is just like the best 24 songs maybe in all of hip-hop. Just like the range he can cover and like the mixture of styles and just like feels that he can conjure at his best is
he did work with like awesome. All the cutting edge producers at his time. Whenever he put something out, it would always be like somebody super good coming up. Yeah.
Primo.
Kanye.
Yeah.
Kanye West.
Yeah.
Kanye might be my 4B.
Like peak Neptunes.
Yeah. Kanye is a genius. Like I mean it's too bad he's sort of ruining his reputation now, but I know it's all a stunt, so I don't really think about him as anything other than just an artist.
All just looks like it was all a big ploy by Trump so that he would pardon Kim Kardashian's friend, right?
Yeah. And to get them on Celebrity Family Feud.
Yeah.
Well, Kanye's just really a big fan of that.
Kanye
That's
West,
true.
He's an interesting character. But if we just going off music, I think there's not many artists that have a better 3-album run.
That's true. That's a great point.
Him and Kendrick Lamar probably have the best 3-album runs.
Yeah.
I feel like Kendrick Lamar is running towards that top 5.
Because he's
putting out classics like twice a year. He's like putting out like really strong work.
You want to hear mine real
often.
Quick? Just like real
yes,
quick?
Yes, I'll All think right. of mine real quick.
All right. Big L, because his shit is groundbreaking even Makes to this sense. Day. I'd put Kendrick in there just because I've liked everything he's done. I feel like he's great right now. Biggie, because I feel like I can listen to any Biggie album and sing along to every track. It's
only
crazy.
Two.
Yeah. And just like from my heart, like my favorite all-time rapper who just kind of disintegrated, Old Dirty Bastard.
ODB.
I really love Brooklyn Zoo. That's like my comfort music. Or that's actually like a real tight race between him and Redman. Because Redman, Reggie Noble is the funniest rapper.
He's cold.
I put him up there. Like people talk about like Ludacris being like kind of like a punchline rapper.
Yeah.
Redman did it better, man.
I guess mine I'm going to cheat because Bone Thugs collectively are on there. Oh, I'm counting them as one rapper
together.
It's all one
face just over top
They're
of each
Voltron,
other.
They're Voltron. Yeah. And Pharoah Monch is on my end.
Okay.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Dr. Dre, because just because of 2001. That's one of my all-time favorite albums. Even if you didn't have The Chronic as like one of the classic hip-hop albums mm-hmm. of all time, I could live on that one album. So I put him up there. Man, 4 is a tough one.
No Black Thought?
So I've seen The Roots live twice, yeah. which is incredible to see. I don't love him as an MC. He's like...
Roots
he doesn't
Live
very,
is like my favorite album.
Yeah, they're
live
incredible
album.
Live, and the I album? Respect the everything Roots that live? He does, but
ridiculous.
He's got the same kind of flow a lot of the times. Like, I feel sense. Like there's not as much variety as you get in some other people. Oh, probably Atmosphere. I like Atmosphere, or Slug from Atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably my number 4.
You're from Minnesota, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Indiana, but he's from Minnesota. Then, yes, yeah, yeah.
You got making me want to rethink my 4. See, I got one. I got mine would be like my personal objective, and then it would be like my underground kind of dudes.
You just want like a whole mountainscape. You want like 12 heads
me,
carved
bro.
Into that rush.
It's yeah. hard for me.
The main four, everybody.
Who are in that last
there?
Category? The ones that are like the kind of the quirky, like yeah. you've got yours.
But my personal is more so the ones that influence me the most.
Yeah.
Then you got objective where it's like, mm-hmm. all right, I can't slight these dudes.
Right.
And then you said the quirky one.
Well, you said there was like a third category
yeah,
that
yeah.
was still even a little bit further off the beaten
path. Like the underground kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
cast. The cast that don't get enough.
That's who I'm interested in.
Peak Lil Wayne is ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's always in that conversation too.
For me, the DOC is one of my favorite rappers of all time.
Yeah.
Black Thought is one of them. I would say Lupe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I always forget about Lupe. Like
earlier Lupe, though. Man.
Yeah, he came out strong.
And then,
really
I feel
good.
Like he's been pretty consistent. I follow him all the way through.
I don't know. I hear he kind of sucks as a person.
I met him.
Yeah?
How was it? Did he suck?
Him and Rashid didn't really get along. It was kind of, yeah. Lupe, he's just kind of to himself, kind of like.
He does this thing.
But he's kind of up and down. But he was cool, I guess.
He was all right.
Yeah, he was cool. But he's one of the most influential rappers for me early mm-hmm. on. And there's a fourth one for like you talking about like the kind of underground dudes. Who am I? This is going to be weird because he clashes with the rest of these dudes. I like Mozzie.
I don't know Mozzie.
I like Mozzie. Who's Mozzie? He's from Sacramento. He's like a gangster rapper.
Oh. Nice.
But I like Mozzie.
I like that deep cut. Excellent.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out. I have not heard any Mozzie, or maybe I have and I just don't remember. But
yeah, it's
that's
very,
a good one.
It's very gutter.
All right,
but he has skill. Like he, mm-hmm. if you put him, if I was to, damn, you said Big L too. Though.
Yeah, I really like Big L, man. And I learned about him like way too late. You know,
Big Pun is one that slips people's minds a lot.
Yeah,
yeah, he could rap his ass off. It's crazy.
Yeah, but I like the Hot Boys a lot. Growing up,
yeah.
It's hard for me to like.
There's so much. There's good music.
I forgot Andre 3000 in that.
I know. I was about to say Outkast. We've already put them.
How did I do that?
There's too many. That's why it's hard. That's why it's hard to go down to 4 because you have to take you have to leave some really great, some great artists off the list.
And I really do love Ice Cube. Ice Cube's first like 4 albums after N.W.A. are all just classics.
They are. Death Certificate.
Yeah. Predator. I love Predator. Home Invasion. Or wait, no, that's Ice-T.
Public Enemy as a group too.
Yeah,
I like the Bomb Squad. They beat a lot of those beats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Public Enemy has aged very well. It sounds awesome today.
Yeah, and if you like Public Enemy, the band Brownout does these awesome funk covers, and they just did "Fear of a Brown Planet" and it's ridiculous. Check it out.
Well, we've been doing all this talking, Mike. Have you thought of a song that you'd like to play?
Let's see. Go through what's going on in my phone right now.
This would be good because, like, whatever you've listened to recently is probably going to be the right thing.
Let's see.
Anybody local that we should be listening to?
Yeah, I like Fontaine.
Yes.
Is there a particular track of his? Be a good one to play.
What is this shit called? It's a. Is it Planet Namek?
Oh, it's a special beam cannon?
Special beam cannon. Sushi.
Sushi. rocking Missouri college basketball sweatsuits, cheering for my brother while abusing drugs. Tea from Arizona, I was sipping slow, getting hit on a leather sofa, playing online poker with a couple of stock brokers. Persian rugs with an Asian wife, I leave a kid's meal on their underbite, seasoned chicken over rice. I'm eating, scheming drones wanna slot to my existence, but I stay shifting through different realities, casually killing artists with no casualties. I'm Ryan Burgundy, five deep, chilling with my faculty. Our Reggie Miller open on that wing in game three, while you Spike Lee hype beast courtside, grinding your teeth, hopped in that cream of wheat Jeep with the satin seats, zoomed like OPB discreet, slapping ODB. My side bitch was Xenon's equal, rolling up my week in the passenger sky high, minus the trampolines. Better act like you fucking know. GQ smooth, smooth operator though. Purple and green strands, got that Frieza versus Piccolo. Throw up $5 for a ride to Planet Namek. If you want a track from my special bean cannon, GQ smooth, smooth operator though. Purple and green strands, got that Frieza versus Piccolo. Throw up $5 for a ride to Planet Namek. If you want a track from my special bean cannon. Here they dropping floppy discs, but they word our Microsoft. Hit that special bean cannon, baby lungs, so I cough. I don't got time for bullshit, I don't got time for haters. All we make is good music, chasing after this paper. Surrounded by weed, hood niggas, chicks and weed, keeping one eye on my greens. You can call me Michael Wazowski. So if you looking too dining, girl, I'm trying to bon appetit. Yeah, get by your draws like what? Bus passes or house keys? What's up though? See, I got that spark, and I'm trying to get higher than a high school boy's self-esteem after losing his V-card. Oh God, this reminds me of my Sega Genesis days, watching anime or playing Sonic the Hedgehog, coasting, holding that potion, skating up in slow motion, so focused I can snatch a fish with one hand out that ocean. Bitch, I'm high off self-esteem, fuck you if you disagree. Do you, I'ma do me. Raindrops lightly scattered over my jeans, Milky Way dreams as I breeze throughout this Portland scene, waving high fives to them fine housewives I see. That's catching me skydive off that treetop while burning this treetop, trying not to get caught up with them cops. Still I'm GQ smooth, yeah, you know. Smooth operator though. Purple and green strands, got that Frieza versus Piccolo. Throw a $5 for yeah, a ride to Planet Namek. If you want a track from my special bean cannon. GQ smooth, yeah, you know. Smooth operator though. Purple and green strands, got that Frieza versus Piccolo. Throw a $5 for a ride to Planet Namek. If you trying to track from my special bean cannon.
Yeah, I was over there walking back getting my sweets, and I see some shit smashing through the sky. I look up, it's that nigga Sushi. You know this nigga Sushi, he over here flying through the sky on a skateboard with rocket ships, almost like Marty McFly, but he was shitting on him, way shitting on him. He came through, he had the bottle, the 2 liter was all purp and thick, you know. I was like, what's up with you, Sushi? He was like, what's up with you, Frank? Let's blow some. So we blew some, and now we out here blowing these piccolo strands and shit like that, getting blowed. Got your bitch doing lines off his board, off my dick. I don't know. We probably finna run train on the hoe later. We'll call you though.
I base almost everything I buy off of Amazon reviews at this point in my life. If it doesn't have a bunch of good reviews, I'm not buying it. And even if it just has one really bad one, sometimes it'll leave a bad taste in my mouth. You know?
Word.
Or like something broken exactly the way that I'm planning on using it.
Usually I just like argue with reviews because it's something I'm like, I'm really into this album, so I want to hear what people are saying. And someone will say something bad and I'll be like, no.
Just yelling at a paper. Just,
yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Having a very heated argument with a newspaper. Yeah.
Mike, you've been well reviewed, I feel like. I feel like people have generally and rightfully embraced your stuff. But did you ever get any bad reviews, any bad press that stuck with you?
I got street reviews as far as Sheesh a little bit. It was, you know, which I expected. I felt like some people was going to be like.
People booed you.
Not booed, but like it was different for people. The Sheesh feeling coming off Concrete Dreams. Like, because I embrace some of the flows that's going on right now. And
do people take it personally? Like you are like betraying your roots?
Nah. But I don't feel like. So this is my first EP. And people were used to hearing like full conceptual type shit from me. So they wasn't used to hearing like five loose tracks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a little different, but it wasn't bad. It was just like people ready for a full thing again.
Well, seeing those songs live, they're really fun. And
yeah, that's why I did them. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't have a whole thing of fucking, you know, Chains or Inner City Tantrum. Or,
if you've ever been to a Mike Capes show, you know that it's basically like the hip hop equivalent of a mosh pit. Like every show, you got the crowd up there. You got Glenn Waco on stage a lot of times with like the best rap hands I've ever seen.
He's fucking that dude's wild.
Yeah, man. If you know what I mean, rap hands. Some people have it, some people don't. Fucking Glenn Waco.
Yeah, man. He got that energy.
He gets people pumped.
Yeah.
What do you remember about your first live show?
My first live show?
Yeah.
My first one was at a talent show at Benson High School where I went. And I remember being nervous the whole day. And it wasn't, we were like a guest. Because me and my homies was in a group. And we put out a song.
What was the name of the group?
The group was called Turf Bangers.
Okay.
Yeah. Turf meaning just like where you from, and bangers meaning the quality of music. But like, yeah, it was our first performance. We had passed around a CD with a song on it, and people was going wild about that song. And we performed it at the talent show. That shit was crazy. I was nervous up until the curtains opening. It just felt.
Then it was flowing.
Regular, yeah. It just felt like I was supposed to be doing. I wasn't nervous no more.
And that was the first time you ever performed live? Was that experience right there?
Yeah. They almost shut the talent show down off of the reaction.
Really?
Yeah.
People were just going crazy.
People rushed the stage.
Wow. Yeah. So that's really gratifying. I'm sure like you got that taste of it, then you're off and running.
But I had other ones where like, not all of my first ones was like that. There's ones where I was nervous. And for the first like five shows, I was nervous looking at people in the eye while I was rapping. You know what I mean? I wouldn't make eye contact with the crowd.
And then you wouldn't stop. You would just stare down one
person.
And
deep into their eyes.
Yeah, I just studied how to be just a better MC. You know what I mean? You got artists, you got people that can rap, and then an MC, you got to be able to control the crowd.
Yeah. How did you develop the physical aspect of your stage performance? Like, what things did you do to get more comfortable and feel more true to yourself?
I think it was just the more confident you get in your music and your abilities, the more risk you're willing to take up there. And I just got in my head like, look, man, these people here to see me. Why am I nervous? You know what I mean? They know what I do. They like what I do. So go up there. And the more you know your music, the more you rehearse your music, the more confident you're going to be up there. Yeah. Early on, I didn't rehearse my music as much. But when I started rehearsing my music more and getting comfortable with it, I was able to rap it different ways and all types of shit. And just got more confident.
How do you feel about wearing swimsuits in public? And did you know that I'm wearing one right now?
Are you?
Yeah, this is a swimsuit.
It's hard to tell. It's got zippers and cargo pockets.
Hey, yeah. You got a belt.
I'm wearing a belt in it?
Yeah.
I say do as you want, man.
It's for tromping around in those tide pools.
I feel like it's a real dad move, but I'm pretty much wearing a swimsuit all the time this summer. Hey, I've got I've got about four different sets of swimsuit shorts that look just like regular shorts. No, well, it all
case
started.
Things get wet.
It all started at Bridgetown Comedy a few years ago. I'll just cut to the chase. I threw up all over myself, and I was wearing a swimsuit, and I just sprayed myself.
You act like there's some story in between the start and the puking. There really isn't.
That was clever.
There isn't a story to tell. You vomited on yourself. That is it.
Pretty much. I mean, the long and short of it is, I shouldn't have been so drunk. I only drank a little bit. Oh, I smoked 17 joints.
17.
No, it was closer to like. Nine. I smoked 9 joints, and then I hit this vape pen, and then I got like this head rush, and I was like, guys, I'm gonna go throw up real quick. And everybody was like, really? You sound very like level headed and normal about it. You're not gonna throw up. And then
you're like, it's not my first time.
I sat down and I came to covered in my own puke, and everyone said that I had been like gagging and gargling my own puke like a baby, and it was just dripping down my face under my shirt.
He was out there bad, man.
And it was a good thing I was wearing a swimsuit, because I just poured water all over myself, and I was good to go. So I recommend it.
Swimsuit.
If you're gonna go full hard, if you're gonna go full hard, as they're gonna say this summer,
if you don't want to go full hard.
If you want to go full hard,
wear swimming trunks.
Let this story be a lesson to anybody who's thinking about going full hard.
Yeah.
Don't reconsider. If full hard is defined by vomiting on yourself in front of a bunch of other people, don't do it.
I mean, it wasn't in front of
That's not a roller coaster ride you need to go on.
I mean, it was in
you
front
know
of
how
like,
it ends.
It was in front of my friend Chris and another of my friend Craig and like an Uber driver who was trying to talk me into
getting
I don't
think
Uber.
You should be embarrassed by that story at all.
It's all good, man. No. It happened to the best.
That Uber driver was like, let me drive you home. And I was like, no, give me a hose.
I'm just saying that maybe people can learn from you.
Yeah,
they don't need to go full hard.
Yeah,
medium hard.
Or maybe more people do.
Speaking of hard, Andy, you got some music to play? Something real hard?
You know I do. Here we go. This is Rap Camp. Oh man, this is like some super inspiring shit for me. It's Rap Camp and the A's are fours. It's all one word. This is Lucas Dix from Jellyfish Brigade and Hive's Inquiry Squad and a ton of other hip hop projects over the years, and Blake Ambrose. And they've been, you know, getting older. They got shit going on. They got
this is all new
jobs.
To me. All this stuff is new to me.
These guys are great. You know, when they get together, they can and they record it, and they both feel like they're doing the best rap of their lives. You know, and they're just, you know, living their lives,
rapping their asses off.
So you know, get out there and get together with your friends and like fucking record something, make some shit,
cipher down.
Yeah. This is off of their new album, and this is called...
Are they from here? Jellyfish Brigade?
Yeah, Jellyfish Brigade, Hives and Crew Squad, all former local hip-hop stuff. This is all local dudes. This actually features a former podcast guest and friend of the show, Blood Money.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. This is off of Rap Camp's new album called Somebody Gotta Hold the Balloons. And you can get that anywhere you can get music, and this song's off of that. It's called Maybe, featuring Blood Money.
It's no filters what you devour just might kill you. The purpose will just fill you with a sense of balance and completion. Who's eating? Who's reaching? Stretch to the plug, fall short. Death to the hurts no more. Let's build a world so pure that the mission is just being in the space and time we're seeing. Leaves a path so damn clean. God himself will eat a sandwich off of all dirt. And we all love, we all thirst, and we all fuck. So just move to that shit, don't suck. It's wisdom in a system, and the lessons and the friction. If we listen and just sit in the discomfort and the pain, what don't kill you, here's your brain. I'm just saying,
wrong, I may be right, I may be 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 wrong, I may be right. More dollar been fine than Louis Vuitton, more kumbaya than coup de grace. Take a YouTube trip on Illuminati, climb out, start praying to the Anunnaki, and I walk like a wizard with the Waltz and Matilda, Neonautum Voltron, we all in a building, couple artsy arachnids cut from the web, but the song in a cut for the dead, mirror full of math that the multiverse, ultra surge like I'm Tesla, ready in a call to Earth, extra, extra, read the lines and get pulled to the side by the reaching vines, weave out the way of enveloping nets, cleaning my closet of skeleton sets, won't put up my soul just to settle a debt, change up the game, Mandela effect, I may be wrong, I may be right, 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 I may be wrong, I may be right. A bandana handshake over banana pancakes, the ambulance chase, about to be here for your man's sake. Tarragon for Aragorn's ranch. These Taylor forms are barely worn, Blanche. Go out and get yours by chance. Hem and haw for the Camelon. Damn, I'll be back in two lamb shakes. Type the email, delay, Sansaki. Work hard and split in two, damn, Blake. Don't get tripped up, got the gist of the outer body. Specific, that's how the levers and knobs be placed. Panopticon Omni, most livid in the poppy field zombie. Soylent is a tint to the lawn screen. Case in return with a scouting report. It's a new age, outing of sorts. CT the rays from the TV and doubt the source. And spark a revolution before crowning your core. Dismantling the viral infection found in your spore. Me, I'm just taking shade in a solar panel while drowning in ore.
Mike, if you weren't a rapper or musician, what would be the art you would choose to make?
the art. Does it have to be art, or does it could be
well,
anything?
Just like whatever your creative outlet would be if you couldn't rap, if you couldn't have music in your life.
Well, football. It's a sport, but football was my main thing. But art-wise, drawing.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
That was my first thing. Well, animals then drawing was my first thing. I drew before I even was rapping.
You still draw?
I don't have the itch to do it no more, no. man. But I can at any given moment.
You still got the muscle memory. It's still in
there. Yeah, yeah.
What did you used to draw?
I used to like make up my own superheroes and draw those. Or I used to watch a lot of like Looney Tunes and stuff, so I would draw a lot of that. I would draw Ninja Turtles a lot. Like,
if you ever want to team up to write a hip-hop comic book, I'm saying it on the air. I will write that, and you can draw it.
Oh, that's a
if
new adventure right there.
If you want to do a hip-hop comic book, I'm throwing my hat in the ring as Ghostwriter.
I like
that.
Drawing, bro.
Yeah.
I was looking at some of this stuff in here, some of the poster art. It's dope. But I like videos, too.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier. You're always looking to up your game in the video department.
Yeah.
I mean, your videos are really high quality. What's kind of the next step there? What do you foresee in terms of your evolution as a video
maker? I
want
to update the concepts in the videos. I just, just take them to another level.
Mm-hmm.
Even the quality, you know what I mean? I don't really like literal videos, bro. Like, when the video matches the story, like, I don't really like that. I like when it's kind of abstract, but at the same time goes with. Like, you seen, what's that Kendrick Lamar video with, like, if I gotta make the pussy, nigga, I'm gonna make it look sick. You know that song?
Yeah, Element.
Element. Yeah. That video. I like that video. Like,
that video's cool. Is that the one with Don Cheadle?
No, that's DNA.
That's DNA. Okay.
Yeah, I like videos like that.
They're a really cool image, like, the whole thing.
And that's actually Kendrick Lamar and Dave Myers, and then Dave Free, his manager, called the Little Homies, and they direct all them videos. Like, Humble.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like shit that catches the eye. Same way I think, like, a flow pattern, when you rapping, like me, I try to change the pattern every four bars, because I feel like when you rap the same way through the whole thing, your ear get bored. So, you switch it up, it keeps the ear engaged, and I think that same thing should be with visuals, like with angles and, like, effects and shit like that.
That's awesome, man. What's, you're talking about switching up your flow kind of every four lines or so. What is it like in, like, the process start to finish for writing a new song?
For writing a new song, so sometime if it's a concept song, I'll start out with the concept and then try to think about what, like, perspective I'm telling it from.
So is the first decision you make, like, this is either going
to
be
the concept
or it's going to be, so the beat comes first.
So I listen to the beat first and whatever. I go off the emotion of the beat.
Yeah.
What is this saying to me? Then I'll come up with a concept to it. Maybe the hook comes first, maybe not. But like, I like to come out with a strong first two bars. I like my last two bars to be super strong. I see it as an essay, like your intro, your conclusion.
Right. And then the meat in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Nice.
Yeah.
When you're landing on a beat, is it like a producer's giving you one track and you're like, he's like, man, Mike, I think this is perfect for you, or you've listened to a bunch of stuff and you found something that speaks to you? How do you select which beats you're working with next?
It's both. Yeah, but as of late, I kind of like the approach of sitting down with a producer and doing it from scratch. It takes more time, but I like it. But like,
what is that like? So are you describing what's on your mind, what you're feeling? Like, how does that begin when you're collaborating with the producer?
May start with samples of some type.
Okay.
And then I may like the drum pattern they're doing. Because for me, the drums is the main thing that I attach to. And I may like the drum pattern, and we'll keep building from there. And then I'll probably, because I go through a mumble process where I'm mumbling, like, cadences and stuff like that. And that's how I tend to find my cadences.
Yeah.
Put words in there and then go from there.
I'm going to give you guys, hold on, before I get into
it. Before we take a serious question, Andy?
I got to tell you guys a little something.
Okay.
I went to the Old Spaghetti Factory for dinner tonight.
Nice.
I don't know if you guys are into that.
I feel like they've dipped in quality from when I was 10 years old, but I do still love that Spumoni.
I have a fantastic food hack for you today. Or maybe it's just a normal order.
spaghetti, but with the meatballs.
Get half clam sauce, half brown butter and mozzarella, and then just mix it all together.
That sounds too rich.
Oh, it's so rich. Oh, strap on your...
You basically got just two layers of cheese and a creamy base with your pasta. That's why you're wearing that bathing suit, huh?
Yes. You're going to want to wear...
You were taking some risks.
You're going to want to wear a bathing suit for this meal.
My Mizithra bathing suits.
Yeah. I've got a couple Mizithra suits.
Makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
They've got like a cool like oil on them, so nothing sticks.
Just slides right off.
Mm-hmm.
Move like a seal.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even remember what we were talking about. Now I'm just thinking about Andy's shitproof bathing suit bottoms that he's wearing.
I think it was a Process House song.
Oh yeah, yes. That was it. Thank you for keeping us out of.
But
still everyone should go to the old Spaghetti Factory.
No, they shouldn't.
I've never been there before. But
it's cool.
It is what it sounds like. It's a place where Andy goes to give himself diarrhea.
And you can eat your food inside a trolley.
Oh, are you the kind of person that can rap, like, can write verses in front of somebody else? So if you're sitting there working with the producer, you're talking about this mumble stage where you're finding your
cadence
and that kind of thing. Are you doing that totally separate in private by yourself? Or are you able to do it with other people?
I'll do it right there. Really? Sometimes, if I'm sitting there and we going through the whole thing, I'll sit there and start writing a song. But sometimes when they got like a catalog of beats they want to show me, and I start doing that, I know that that's a beat that I want to use.
Yeah.
And then from there, I pick from there.
How long does it take for you to find the cadences and that skeleton for the verses?
It depends on how much I feel the beat. If I feel it, it's easy. But sometimes I like ones that's like more challenging, that's harder for me.
What's
like,
the longest
it's like
you've
when you
ever...
hear a song, you know it's a hit.
What's that?
Like it's like when you hear a hook and you know it's a hit. Like the other day, Ali said, "It better be Cheddar, not Kobe." And I was like, "Oh man, you just wrote a platinum hit." It better be Cheddar, not Kobe. Ooh.
You say that in Amigos triplet.
Yeah,
it's gonna go.
That really is a good Migos line. File that away. Yeah. Get him started with at least.
I'm gonna
notebook.
Call Offset like tomorrow. It's all set up.
What's the longest you had to sit with the beat? Between the time you heard it, liked it, and finished it out.
It's going to be Razor Tongue, bro.
Really?
Yeah, I wrote that song in a span of maybe 2 or 3 years. I wrote the first half to it, and that came pretty easy. But then I just, at some point, I got stopped up on it, and I was like, I kind of felt like I didn't have enough of what I wanted to say, so I just sat with it. And then the second half came maybe like a year later,
right.
And then I finished it. Yeah, I had that beat for a long time. It wasn't because I didn't like it or nothing. I just felt like if I was going to go all the way through on that beat, it needed to be front to back where people don't get bored.
So you're pretty confident when a song is done that you have, like, done justice to.
Oh, yeah, because, man, I'm real critical about what I write and what I put out and shit like that. Because a lot of people think I'm critical with music in general, but, like, I'm like that with myself. I go over it a bunch of times where I go through it and be like, was that corny? If it's corny, I'm going to change it and shit like that. I'm not one of the types that send memos to like other artists that I'm cool with and be like, hey, what you think about this? I go with how I want to do it.
Yeah. Kind of like one of my favorite rappers, Big Critical.
I love Big Crit.
Big Crit's dope. But man, if his full name was Big Critical, would that be the fucking shit?
Big Critical. I think that
just
might
shorten
make him
to
like,
Big Crit.
That might Humongous Critical.
That's a pretty good album name, actually. Humongous Critical.
That's his flip name.
Or that's my alternate hip hop name.
Your Big Crit tribute.
AKA
album.
Humongous Critical. I like that. That's not bad. Mm. This podcast has generated a lot of hip hop album names in its history.
Yeah. You could do that with every rapper, probably.
Mm-hmm. Cool Kevin. Remember Cool Kevin?
Cool Kevin, yeah. We invented a terrible rapper named Cool Kevin. That's not a bad name.
He's doing a show with Cool Keith.
The Cool Tour. Yeah. Sponsored by Cool Cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
How much stuff like just doesn't make it out? How much stuff isn't good enough to make an album? Is it usually you get a lot of stuff that you just like dump, or you just work on things until they're perfect?
I get all the beats I want and then I write to them. I don't really have a lot of throwaways.
Really? Okay.
I don't do the whole thing. I don't really do the thing where I record like 30 and then pick 12 of them. It's more so like I know what I want to do. And when I get those tracks, I put them in an order that I feel makes sense. I'm big on cohesion. So like, I wanted the sounds to sound right going into each other. I want the concepts to sound right going to each other. I might put an interlude in there to bridge two concepts more smooth. Like, I'm into that. I like the part that a lot of artists don't really like, the post production.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious because, okay, so I used to edit books.
Yeah.
And I would sit down with a manuscript and
nudie books.
Yeah, I've got a lot of critiques about bodies. But like people's novels, and yeah. The first draft you go through, and like my thing was, I always wanted to tell them what I thought was happening in the book,
yeah.
Because oftentimes it was different than what they meant, and that would give us a starting point for how we could whittle away toward what they meant. Yeah. Do you have someone who's like a sounding board for these concepts? Since the concept is so important,
like,
do you have someone to tell you? Is it like okay, this you're hitting what you mean to hit? Is there someone who's like an editorial board for you that you trust?
If I was to trust anybody with that, it'd probably be Rashid, Jamal. But still, I don't really do that. No, that's more so me back and forth going on the song. Like, am I so with songs, I think about who the audience is that I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at music as communication. So I'm going to try to communicate in a way that those people, the way they communicate, I'm going to try to do that with the music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a more simple song, like I might. You know what I mean? I still kept it lyrical, but at the same time, I'm using cadences that. So I made that more so like the age group is probably going to be younger people or people that like to party and shit like that. So I'm going to use familiar schemes, but I'm going to do it my way. So I just see music as communication. Right. Raise Your Tongue was like one of them too.
And there's like an element of persuasion to that too, yeah. Because you're meeting them where they are and giving them a lesson in the way they understand it.
I like to call it like songs like JanSport and Jumper Cables and songs like that. I like to call it like Candy and Carrots.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Or Candy Coated Carrots where like, are those sound like candy, uh-huh. But like, also, when you bite into it, you're getting substance too. Yeah. When you really break it down and listen
like
to it.
Like those little jelly beans you get around Easter that are shaped like carrots.
I never have
seen that
before.
Shit. It's like carrot.
You're just talking about candy that's like vegetable shaped.
Yeah,
that like candy
disgusting.
Corn.
Yeah, no, it tastes good. It's not carrot flavored.
Okay,
it tastes like oranges or something, but it's like it comes in a carrot. And then there's other ones that are like little carrots and peas.
Hmm.
It's weird.
Yeah,
so I thought you meant it was
hip hop.
It was a jelly bean of hip hop.
I just like to it's to get those people that casual listeners were like
mm-hmm. who love jelly beans.
So like I might. You know what I mean? It's more so of like it sounds kind of mainstream, but when you listen to it, you also hearing bars, mm-hmm. and you also hearing substance still.
On a side note real quick, this is great for a podcast because you guys can't see this. If you guys' hats turned into people, who would win that fight?
I'm wearing a hat now that has like a mean cartoon cow on it.
It looks mean.
A cow might run over Damian Lillard or something.
But like this the Portland Blazers.
And Mike's got a blazer hat on.
Blazers.
What's on the seal? It's like a really like scripted Portland, and there's like a seal behind it. Like what's
a seal? I don't know what the point of it is.
It's just roses.
It's stylized. No, that's no roses on it. It's like an arrow with pinstripes.
I think my mean cow.
Cow might win.
Yeah, it'd be close.
Especially since he's mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, we've been talking about your process and like what you value in songs. I don't think we can let you go without playing at least one Mike Capes track.
Okay.
Is there one in particular that you'd like to share?
Y'all said y'all wanted a new one, right?
That would be
we
great.
Will always take a new one.
So
and
this is it's a candy coated carrot one.
Perfect. Yeah, this is perfect.
Yeah. It's something for the summer, it's something bouncy, but it still has substance and
Does it have a name yet?
It's called Mansa Musa.
On the ball like Mansa Musa, switch, make a million and get rich. Look, I just want a ball like Mansa Musa, switch, ayy, make a million and get rich. Look, I just want to flex, diamonds on my neck, buy myself a jet, $1 million checks, cop my folks a crib, move them off the grid, cop a lot of land, hey, and leave it to my kids. Look,
Look, I talk to God and he told me I'm blessed. I talk to God and he told me I'm next. I write these rhymes and hope they connect. Money is cool, I'm up for respect. They cannot hold me, got Kobe finesse. Humble and cocky, don't fold under stress. Calling me conscious, I'm prone to the flesh. I got that Nixon, that Rollie is next. I just wanna ball like Mansa Musa. Swish, make a million and get rich. Look, I just wanna ball like Mansa Musa. Swish, ayy, make a million and get rich. Look, I just wanna ball like Mansa Musa. Swish, ayy, make a million and get rich. Look, I just wanna ball like Mansa Musa. Swish, make a million and get rich. I just wanna ball, I just wanna stunt, split it with my dogs, stack and double up, get back to the block. I love my people, got passion like Pac. Build up my credit, invest in some stock. Marry my queen and purchase a spot. I need that wealth generational. Came from the dirt, we unbreakable. They feel what I say, I'm relatable. They say what I say, inspirational. Ay, I'm on a mission to get it right. I wanna fill with a million like. No, I wanna fill with a billion like. I need that Diddy and Jigga like. I just wanna ball like Mansa Musa. Swish, make a million and get rich. Look, I just wanna ball like Mansa Musa. Swish, ayy, make a million and get rich. Look, I just wanna ball like Mansa Musa. Swish, ayy, make a million and get rich. Look, I just wanna ball like Mansa Musa. Swish, make a million and get rich.
With me, I see rapping as a part of me, so I don't ever lead a conversation with, I rap.
Right.
I let people kind of figure that out. And it's kind of weird to me when people try to be rappers, they try to be somebody not, I think.
Well, it's interesting because, like, that is what you do. And so, in a sense, you know, it's your job, it's your career, it's also your passion. So, in a lot of ways, it is an like a big part of your identity.
It's part of my identity.
Right.
But it's not, like, my core, you know what I mean? I think rappers, a lot of the rappers, the ones you see on TV now, like Lil Pump and all them type of dudes, they lead with their identity as a rapper. You know what I mean? So they tend to put the stereotypes that come with a rapper, cars, money, clothes, diamonds, money, like all that type of shit, I feel like. But
how much do you think people, if they listen just to your songs and don't know anything else about you, how much do they think they can really learn about you as a person?
I think they would learn a lot about me. They wouldn't learn to complete me. I feel like you'd have to sit down and talk with me about that.
Right.
But they definitely learn a lot of my principles and what I stand for and what I'm interested in and shit like that. Yeah, surface things, but a little deeper. They have more understanding than, like, surface.
As you gain a little bit more and more recognition and you have this awareness that there are more and more strangers out there listening to your music.
Yeah, shit's crazy.
Like, does it ever feel uncomfortable when someone comes up to you as if they know you because your songs are so personal?
That shit happens a lot, bro. Like, I actually dig when people come up to me and talk to me about a song that helped get them through or inspired them or motivated them and shit like that. I appreciate people coming up to me and talking to me about that. A lot of times people do that on the internet, but won't come up and talk to you in real life, and I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? That shit, it happens a lot. I've had to get used to it over the years because I'm kind of a person. I don't walk around like, I don't wear that on my chest. So I just move like a regular person, and when people see me, it's kind of like, it happened in the mall the other day. Some kids were walking by, and they was like, oh, are you Mike Capes? I was like, yeah.
And you beat them all up.
It was like, I didn't think I'd see you in the mall ever. And I was like, oh,
where else do I get my jeans?
Like, you caught me. I was like, but he's saying, talking about the music, and I just always try to show, you know, gratitude to that. Because I could not be getting heard, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that, you know, you're paying your bills, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And you can give everything you have to this creative outlet. How has your mentality changed about maybe like the business aspect of it? How are you starting to think about making this a career? And how are you like guiding that part of the job, I guess?
Well, man, I've never had like a manager before.
Yeah.
I've had people I work with, but like I've always negotiated. Like when people hit me up for shows, I always negotiate when I'm getting paid and things like that. Mm-hmm. I always handle that. And I've never had to really reach out to get shows ever. Yeah. It's more so been them hearing about me and they come to me and then we negotiate.
That's nice.
So that I've had it easy in that aspect, but I'm just in the point where I'm just learning more and more about the business part of it, how the streaming shit works, and a lot of other things.
Do you ever feel like you're going to have to, like, focus on, like, some kind of Mike Capes brand or some sort of marketing aspect to it? Do you ever think about those things to push it as far as it can possibly go, or do you not worry about that kind of stuff?
That's the thing. I feel like my brand is just me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like I got a facade up that's trying to push a certain thing. I feel like it's just me.
Man, yeah. And sorry to throw this wrench in the show here, but thinking back
good with
on
the
it,
wrenches.
This oh man. So your hat's got the cool like Portland gold script. Yeah. I think that the letters Portland versus like angry cartoon cow, the letters of Portland are just wrapped.
You've come full circle. You think that the gold threaded Portland script would it's got something?
Yeah,
kinda
I do.
Looks like a lasso.
Yeah, I think it's just gonna like choke him out with some kind of weird like Rose City style submission hold.
This this hat battle is definitely like
it's consuming my thoughts.
Like Super Smash Brothers. It's a lot of different styles, a lot of different characters. I don't really know. You never think in Super Smash Brothers that Kirby's gonna be any good because you know Kirby's just big fat pink.
Kirby's
you know,
a piece of shit.
And nobody ever plays.
But he can win.
Word
you can
Portland.
Win with Kirby.
Yeah.
People don't know that that's an unlockable character. The word Portland in Super Smash Brothers. People don't play as it very often, but it's do you know the moves?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It can slug it out with Mario, Luigi, you name it.
Donkey Kong.
My kids were wondering the other day who would win in a fight between Luigi and Captain America. And if you go at like full Luigi canon, Luigi's got some pretty deadly weapons.
And all those lives.
He's got all those lives. He's
and
got,
can jump
he's
really
got
high.
He's got the Infinity Star or whatever, the Invincibility Star.
If he rides in on Yoshi.
Yeah.
Yeah, forget about it.
Yoshi's a bitch, though.
He's got that vacuum cleaner that can, like, suck
What's
up.
What's wrong with Yoshi?
Yoshi won't go into the ghost houses, bro.
Really. That's a good point.
He's a dinosaur, bro. Why are you scared of ghosts?
He can swallow many of the enemies
without
even worrying. Well, including the ones that are on fire.
The secret is he can't swallow a ghost, and that's why he's so scared of them.
He can't. What would he shit out if he swallowed a ghost?
Ghost bones.
Yeah. It's just farts. It's like those times you get all the way down to the toilet and you sit down and just nothing, just air.
Then he swallowed those little gopher shits that come out the ground and it comes out like an egg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good deal. It's like Andy's emus.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yoshi's world was the shit.
Yeah, it was. Any level that you get to play as Yoshi in Mario is the best. Yeah.
Well, Mike, before we let you go, I'm going to throw a wrench this time, and we'll leave with a little something fun.
It's a real fuzzy wrench.
I'm curious. So we like to ask our guests sometimes where they stand on things like aliens and ghosts.
Let's do it.
So what do you believe in Bigfoot? Let's start there.
Do
you think that's a real creature out there?
Being as we ain't really discovered most of the species on the planet, it's a possibility.
Okay, you're going to stick with the possibility.
I think it still is like a mythical creature.
We live in Bigfoot country.
Yeah, we do.
And I've never seen one. All I've ever wanted was just, I don't even want to like find a body or like look one in the eye. I just want to be like driving in the
you
mountains. And I just want to like be convinced that I saw one.
Yes.
Even if I just saw a rock, I just want to believe in my heart that I saw a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Bigfoot has just gotten really good at camouflaging itself as just like a shitty camper who like poops everywhere and leaves toilet paper
big
everywhere.
Ass sloth.
Like breaks glass and just like
beating up bears.
Trash.
Just like I love the idea of him beating up bears.
Beef just with brown animals. Bears.
Just whipping some bear ass.
Just
with his fists.
Camper.
It's really just a coat he has on, a bear coat.
Yeah.
Okay, but now you've moved the bar for me because at first I just wanted to see a blurry image of Sasquatch, but now I want to see a bear Sasquatch fight. I want to stumble upon just a full
bears don't want it with that
fist
guy.
Fist fight with
and how many if they are alive how many is there?
That's a good question.
How many could there possibly be?
So there's
an uncomfortable amount.
If they exist, it's like an endangered species. Right?
I heard they time shift and shit. Like they kind of disappear.
That is a new wrinkle.
I've heard that.
That makes sense. They just go back to like
wherever
the time that like works for them.
Yeah,
they jump around. That make a lot more
the
sense.
Mesozoic,
and that's why they're always blurry because they're always time shifting whenever they get a picture taken.
Yeah. This is blowing my mind. I've never heard of time shifting.
Look it up,
Bigfoot.
Yeah, man.
I will. I will be looking.
I'm into this shit, bro.
Time shifting Bigfoot.
I have seen a UFO though.
You have seen one
for real?
Describe the most convincing encounter you had.
So it was me. I'm glad I had rational friends with me at this time
because they're like, no, you didn't see.
We was in North Portland, was going down Greeley, and I look up to my left. I look up to my right, and there's like these. There's like four rings in the air, like neon colored. and they're doing, they're intertwined and they're doing this.
Oh.
And then they break apart, float around, come back together. And I'm like, and I got my friend that's driving, and Waco is in the back seat. And I was like, bro, do y'all see what I see up over to the right? And they're like, yeah, bro, we see it. It was like
they all saw it.
Yeah, they all saw it. So I was like, yes, I'm not tripping. It was like they look kind of like Olympic rings, but neon, and they would break apart, do their own thing, and then come back together.
Oh.
And it was like
when they came back together, were they like stacked up or were they like
more so
a tighter cluster? I see.
Attached in like different formations.
How high up in the sky?
It was lower than a plane.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But above like two-story
but it was
houses.
High, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like it was amazing to look at. I was like, bro, this is crazy.
Did you guys stop and like just stare at it until it was gone?
No, we just started driving slow and just looking at it. And then we just kind of drove until we couldn't see it no more. And, but it, and I'm
the
a
world
super,
didn't end that night.
I'm a super rational type of person. So I was like, bro.
And you're just convinced that that was
very.
What do you think it was? You think it was an alien craft of some kind?
I think it might have been.
Oh, man.
Because it was like neon yellow, neon green, neon red, and like neon purple.
Yeah. I mean,
and it was moving like this. Through the sky.
For those who can't see, it's like a forward like spin.
Like a gear.
Yeah, yeah.
It would, then it would turn sideways and be doing something.
Oh, that's bizarre.
And it broke out, it'd break off and do like unnatural paths of flight.
Oh, shit.
It wasn't doing like crazy. A zip off and disappear. It was doing like that. They break
Damn.
Apart and do like crazy shit.
That's a true encounter.
Yeah, bro.
That is a true encounter.
I wasn't scared or anything. I was just like real intrigued, but I was like, bro, this is crazy.
I think I would be scared. Like I don't
believe. If I seen an alien, I'd be scared.
If you saw the actual alien.
Yes. I'd be
what about ghosts? Do you believe in ghosts?
I do believe in ghosts. I haven't seen one, but my little brother has seen him.
He's seen him.
He can't even talk about ghosts.
As a family, you've had some encounters.
Yeah. I don't want to ever see a fucking ghost.
That's why I don't believe in them. Because if I even entertain the notion of the possible notion of their existence, I would be petrified all the time.
Yeah, bro. I don't want to see no spirits.
No, I don't want anything
I'm
to do with
I
that.
I don't want that gift to even talk to him and do all that shit people be doing.
Terrible gift.
Kind of like a devil may care attitude about ghosts, thinking that I'd be able to befriend them and shit. But in like the last few like movies I've seen about ghostly possession, it looks rough, dude.
Yeah.
All those Amityville horrors and like the possession films and shit.
They're never possessing you to do something interesting or fun. They're never like helping you to utilize ghost powers. They're just trying to fuck with your life.
Just make you like puke blood and have like blisters all over your face.
Yeah,
bro. Nobody wants that.
And you don't know which ones is like demons and which ones is like friendly.
Yeah.
You're like, bro, I don't want a shape shifting type shit, like come back and it looks like a family member, but it's not really a family member.
No, I don't want any part of
like
that.
Like my brother seen what he thought was an outline of my grandma. He was walking to the bathroom and she came out of the bathroom and walked into our room.
Is this at night?
As a kid, like, at night.
Oh, man.
I remember getting woke up from him screaming about it. Like, to this day, he's 27, and if I bring up ghosts around, he don't want to talk about it.
I wouldn't either. Like, so that's what he saw. In the middle of the night, he saw your grandma leave the restroom and
come bathroom. Out like as a floaty figure. It was shaped like her.
Oh, man.
And then she went into our room.
Oof, yeah.
And then he ran in. I was sleeping on the couch that day, and he ran into my mom and dad's room screaming. I remember that.
See, my biggest fear is if the ghost is there, but I can't see it. Like, the idea of a ghost being, like, really near me, but I can't see them at all, that freaks me the fuck out.
I would never want to buy an old house. Like, the day I buy a house, I want to know if somebody died in that motherfucker.
Yes,
like, I don't want to deal with none of that, bro. No paranormal shit.
Well, Mike, that is a very rational and appreciated point of view. I'm glad that you have taken a firm stand on ghosts. Because
bro. I don't.
That's important to me.
I think they're real, but I don't want to see one.
Yeah.
Oh, and they're very real.
But as humans, I think we got that sense, like when we're in a room by ourselves or somewhere by ourselves, and we feel something.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm. You think that's legitimate?
I think there may be another dimension where things operate that we can't see them, but some people can.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys ever feel like somebody just called your name all the time?
Well, my name's Michael, so.
Oh, yeah.
You scream that in a crowd of 20 people, you're going to get two.
Yeah.
That happened to me.
Andy. My name's Andy, so I get that a lot, too. Yeah.
Drew's a little bit less common than
I yell it often when I'm not looking for you, just for fun.
I thought I heard it yesterday.
That's a good chanting name. Drew is a good chanting name.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I was like downtown near my office, and I thought someone shouted it, and I did the thing where I just kind of like look around. I just stop walking and look around, and there's just 10 strangers around me, and no one said my name. So I just really freaked out.
So you started asking each one, what'd you say?
What's my name? What is my name? Hey. And then I kind of pushed their shoulder a little bit.
Yeah. I got a question.
Yeah.
Do you believe in being contacted by past family members? And that could be through dreams. That could be anything.
Oh, that's interesting. Truthfully, I do not.
I'm pretty sure I was contacted by a past family member through Hummingbird.
For real?
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah. I probably told the story on the show, but my wife had just had my daughter. We had her in the house, and I went out back and picked some raspberries, and this Hummingbird, like, just hovered in front of me for like, you know, it was probably like 10 seconds, but in Hummingbird time, it felt like forever.
Yeah.
I was like, made eye contact with this Hummingbird and instead did this whole thing. And so I did my internet research and found out that it's in some Native American cultures considered to be like past loved ones take the form
that
of hummingbirds.
Cool, bro.
Really?
Communicate with
I didn't know that happened. That's interesting.
So
I got a scary one though.
Okay, what's this one? This is good.
My homeboy, man, his name is Deontay. So his grandma passed, right? No shit, like a month later, he gets an email from his grandma.
An email,
bro.
Whoa, that's future scary.
Email saying, like, I love you, da-da-da-da. Like,
really?
Like, for real, bro.
Was it someone fucking with him?
No.
Like, no.
It was from his grandma's email. Not a job email, like her personal email. Like, she said something to him that only she would know. Only she would say. Yeah, bro.
That's crazy. See,
when he told me that, I was like, and he's a person that don't lie about shit like that. I was just like, bro, she contacted you through email? He's like, yeah, I still got it. I think he showed me it once, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy, crazy story. See, I guess that's kind of like my. My Bigfoot sighting out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
Like, I want that kind of experience. I don't really care actually what the reason is. Like I don't know what sort of supernatural thing is happening in that case that makes that happen. I don't really care what the mechanism is, but I want to have that experience that makes me feel like there's all kinds of things that are bigger than me or different than me. You know, that's what I want. I want something that like shakes me out of certainty.
Yeah, out of logic.
Yeah, I want to feel like disoriented from reality for just like a second.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I guess I want to believe in all those things.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely want to believe in the Loch Ness Monster. When I was a kid, that was my jam. I would watch documentaries and like VHS tape them about the Loch Ness Monster. I was obsessed with that. And then, of course, like the famous photos were all like frauds and stuff like that. So
pissed you off.
Exactly. It really like, it's like, man, it's a real fucking bummer.
Yeah, the Loch Ness Monster was one of mine too.
Yeah,
bro, it's this big ass thing.
Literally. I just wanted dinosaurs. Cool, I wanted some dinosaurs out there.
Where are dragons?
Yeah, I guess
sea monsters and stuff. Come on, I was promised sea monsters.
Yeah, one sea monster. I mean, the oceans are full of stuff we don't know about. So there's definitely some really crazy stuff in the ocean.
They say aliens come out the ocean. They've said that before.
Like, yeah,
seen ships at night.
The movie The Abyss is about that very thing. Mm-hmm. It's about ocean aliens. Yeah, it's a good movie.
I don't want no smoke with an alien. I hope they don't look like Predator. The little gray guy circled around your bed in the middle of the night would be scary.
Yes, that would be more terrifying to me
than
the Predator.
And you can't move?
Yeah. Oh, I would hate that.
And you hear about that story way back in the day when these guys were on a lake and they were fishing or whatever and they had a time lapse and they woke up at like 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then, but over the years they recall that they were abducted.
They get their memories back
over
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they start remembering what happened to them up there.
Yeah, I don't want any part of that. I don't want, because either it really happened and it's super like insane that it happened, or you're losing your mind.
Yeah.
Or part of your mind is broken down and you can never quite tell which is which.
That UFO encounter for me was enough. I don't want to see actual beings ever.
Yeah.
Ever, bro.
Well, Mike, I'm with you there, and we unfortunately we're out of time. Like, we could talk to you like for like 3 or 4 more hours.
Yeah, this shit is fun.
We're gonna have to have you back.
We need a special series of 2 hours.
That's right. Yeah. We'll just make this chapter one of many to come. But thank you for being on the show. We really appreciate you coming out.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank y'all, man. I appreciate it.
Of course. What's the best way for people to keep track of what you're up to?
It's just Mike Capes on Facebook. MIC space CAPES. I'm not using that as much. So Twitter. MICCAPES _music. And the same thing for Instagram.
Yeah, and you can find your music all over the place.
You can find it on Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, Google Play, Bandcamp, everything.
And I'm telling you guys, like, throw some dollars at it. Totally
Please
worth
do.
It. Buy the catalog. Yeah. Support Mike. You will not Absolutely. Be disappointed. Those are timeless.
And
timeless
go see
music.
His show. Go catch Mike Please Capes do. Live and really Uh-oh. Have a good time and see what it's all about. Yeah.
Show June 23rd at the Fixin' 2.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Yeah. The Fixin' 2.
The
okay.
Fixin' 2.
Awesome.
The last four that we've thrown there, because they let me curate shows there. The last four that I threw sold out. So
fantastic. Well, check that out June 23rd. Look for Mike Capes online in all kinds of platforms. He's all over the place. Yeah. One of the best artists in Portland. Thank you again for being on the show. We
Thank
really
you,
appreciate
man.
It.
Appreciate it.
And thank all of you for listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. We deeply appreciate you. We hope you had a good time. If you did, we hope you tell your friends and family members
friend,
about
tell
the
a
show.
Friend, tell a friend.
Yeah, spread it around. Yeah. You know, say, hey, this was fun. We had a good time. Check this out.
We know you're all listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
Listen to this one.
Yeah.
This and is... if you've made it this far, thank you.
Yeah. And if you'd like to go a little further, you can reach out to Nate, Andy, and myself via email at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. Excuse me. That's HAUTE, garbagepodcast@gmail.com. Andy, mm-hmm. It's that time.
Oh, this is...
One more for the road.
You know, we got to mix it up. We listened to a lot of hip-hop tonight. I think it's time we take it down to Baton Rouge for a little screamy doom metal.
Oh, this, sure.
This
sure.
is the band...
That comes out of Baton Rouge?
Yeah, this is a band called Thou, T-H-O-U, that's been killing
that's
it...
That's a good name.
...for a long like time. That. They've been working their asses off on the road, and they're still cool enough to... respond to my emails and say totally cool to play one of our songs, and a big nice. Shout out to them. And they do something that's super fucking cool. When they're building up to release an album, they just start producing music at an astronomical level, and they put out shit that doesn't sound like any of the other stuff. Case in point, their new album here that's coming out, they have an album coming out, I think it's coming out in August, called Magus. But they have two very different EPs out. They have one called The House Primordial, and that's kind of like more of like almost like a grunge album. Hmm. And then they have this one called Inconsolable that kind of sounds like almost like Alice in Chains-y. I think it's all done on
speaking my language.
Like drop D tuned acoustic guitars. There's nice. It's just, and the lyrics are much cleaner and there's a lot of harmonies and stuff. And this album is really fucking cool. And this is a song off of that that's more kind of almost like an interlude. But I just really fucking love this song. It's called Find the Cost of Freedom. It's off of that album, Inconsolable. And be on the lookout for their new Nirvana cover album coming out soon.
Awesome. Well, thanks to Thou for taking us out tonight. Thanks to the legendary Mike Capes for being here.
Oh, man, legendary. Let's get it.
The legendary Mike Capes.
I like that one.
For Andy and for Nate, this is Drew. We will see you next week on Hot Garbage.